I would invite you to open a Bible, if you have one, to the Gospel of Matthew, to Matthew chapter 26, is where we will be starting this morning as we talk about resurrection hope. We are in a series since these COVID-19 coronavirus days of isolation and staying at home and not being able to meet, and a series called Stories of Hope. And this morning on Easter Resurrection Sunday, the greatest hope that we have is the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we will be looking eventually at Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10 for Matthew's account of the resurrection. But we will begin looking at a couple of accounts in the book of Matthew, chapters 26 and 27. I invite you to turn there as we would prepare to look into God's word. Recently, I had a conversation with one of my friends who is a pastor, and he was recounting to me about a pastor's coaching group that he is involved in weekly. And right after stay-at-home orders had come, and he was not able to meet with his church family and have worship in his church as he was used to, he had this coaching group on the following Monday. And in that group, the coach of that group, the man who was investing in this group of pastors that he was meeting with every Monday, was a former football player. And so he was a rah-rah, let's go get them kind of guy. And so on this first Monday after these stay-at-home orders came out, he rallied these pastors around and he said, listen, everybody, you have to be strong for everyone. You have to project strength. You have to project confidence. People are worried these days. You can't let them know that you are worried too. Let them know that they're going to be okay, that they're going to get through this, and that everything is going to be okay. You can just imagine a football player delivering that, ready to run through a wall to tackle whatever it is. And that was the enthusiasm and the message that he was bringing to my friend and the other pastors that he was meeting with. A few days later, my friend and I were talking, and he was recounting that time of that coaching, and we were processing that together. And the reality that we came to is that as much as that is what people want to hear, that may not be what is true. We don't know if everyone is going to get through this well. We don't know if everything in a temporal earthly way, if everything is going to work out okay. In fact, for a lot of people, it is not working out okay. For a lot of people, there is pain, there is difficulty, there is loss, there is death, even for some. No one can guarantee that we're all going to get through it okay. Things may not go well. And that is both unsettling and untrue. Both unsettling and true, excuse me. In a chaotic world, resurrection hope gives us stable ground to stand on. Resurrection hope in a chaotic world gives us stable ground to stand on. A couple months ago, I came across a quote from author, theologian, writer, and pastor Frederick Buechner. And Buechner said this: resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. Hear that again. Resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. It's a concept that has captured my thinking in these last couple of months, especially in light of COVID-19. But it had captured my thinking even before COVID-19 had brought all of the ramifications that we are dealing with today. As we celebrate this morning resurrection hope that Jesus provides, let us together consider how this statement is relevant to us today, that resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. In order to do that, let's begin by taking some time to associate with some worst things. Associate with some worst things. And the way we're going to do this is looking in Matthew chapter 26 and 27, at some of those last days that Jesus spent with his disciples and some of the worst things that he and his disciples experienced leading up to the resurrection. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verses 1 and 2, this is what Jesus says. When Jesus had finished saying all of these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." First worst thing to be able to associate with this morning is bad news. Bad news. Jesus gave his disciples some bad news, that in 2 days he was going to be handed over to be crucified. Now, if you're looking for the Messiah and you've been following the man who you believe is the Savior, the Deliverer, the Messiah that has been promised for many, many years, this is not the news that you want to get. That in 2 days, he's going to be handed over to be crucified. That is not very Messiah-like. Now, this would not have been the first time that he had told them, and it seems they never really fully understand, or they never really believed it until that Good Friday where Jesus was in fact crucified. Bad news. Have you received some bad news lately? Just like those disciples did in Matthew chapter 26? I think we all have, especially in these days, been receiving bad news. Coronavirus cases continue to increase. Death tolls continue to rise. There are regular job layoffs and even complete job losses. There is isolation and loneliness due to these quarantine orders until at least the end of this month. This week we found out that schools in Pennsylvania will be closed for the rest of this academic school year. And now that may be more bad news for parents than it is for students, at least some students. But it's bad news nonetheless. And there may be the bad news even of hearing that someone you know or love has contracted the virus. And these are just bad news instances that are dealing with COVID-19 and coronavirus, let alone all of the normal things that can be bad news in our lives that can be completely separate, that are just part of life. But remember, even in the midst of bad news, remember that resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. Resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. A second worst thing that happens that we can see in Jesus' life, an example, is betrayal by a close friend. In Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, 'What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?' So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. And from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over." Judas, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, was not happy with the direction that Jesus was going. Jesus did not fit the Messiah picture that he was looking for, deliverance from Rome. So Judas agreed to betray Jesus and to hand him over to the religious leaders for a measly 30 pieces of silver. So how about you? Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever been stabbed in the back by a close friend? It's a painful experience. If you haven't already, chances are sometime in your life, someone close to you will do that horrific act. They will betray you, just like Judas betrayed Jesus. But remember, if and when that happens, or if it has already happened to you, remember, resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. Let's look at a third worst thing that Jesus experienced in those days leading up to his resurrection. The third worst thing is that Jesus was deserted and he was disowned. In Matthew 26, verse 56, after Jesus was arrested, after having been in the Garden of Gethsemane praying with his disciples, even when they couldn't stay awake, Judas comes and the betrayal becomes complete as he leads chief priests and elders, crowd that they had sent to be able to go and to arrest Jesus. And as they came and Jesus was arrested, it says in verses 55 through 56 of Matthew 26, at that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you do not arrest me, but this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Following that time of prayer, Jesus responds to those coming to arrest him, not with resistance, or not with a rebellion and resistance, but with submission. And his disciples, instead of standing with him, desert him. A little while later, Peter follows at a safe distance outside of where Jesus is being tried by the religious leaders. And he's standing around a fire, and three times he is asked, "You have been with Jesus, haven't you? You're one of his followers." And in verse 75 of Matthew chapter 26, here is Peter's response. Then Peter remembered the words that Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. Three times Peter denied Jesus, to the point where Matthew says he disowned Jesus. The very thing that Peter said he would never do, deny Christ, he ended up doing. And so here is Jesus in his greatest hour of need, both deserted and disowned by the 12 who were closest to him on the earth. How about you? Have you ever been deserted or disowned by others? Those are pretty big deals. And even if you haven't been, it may feel these days like you have been in some ways. It may feel these days of isolation like you have been deserted, like you have been disowned. Maybe you have been hoping that people would be checking in and calling you more often. Maybe family and friends that you were hoping would be there for you more regularly have not done all that you were expecting or anticipating them to do. And today you may be feeling as if you have been deserted, as if you have been disowned. It's sad. It is extremely painful when we are left all alone, deserted and disowned by others. But remember, resurrection means that even the worst thing is never the last thing. Now, the last worst thing that we might be able to associate with bad news, betrayal by a close friend, being deserted or disowned by others, the last is by far the worst thing, and that is death. Look at Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 54. This is the account of the death of Jesus. These three things that Jesus and the disciples experienced were certainly bad, but nowhere close to the worst thing, because the crucifixion of Jesus, in my belief, is the worst day in all of human history. For hours, Jesus was mocked. He was beaten almost to the point of death. He was tortured. And then he was crucified on a cross. To die a horrific death, one of the most brutal that has ever been formulated in human history. And in addition to the physical pain and the agony, the perfect Son of God had all of the sin of the world placed on him. the Father and the Holy Spirit deserting him because of the sin that was laid upon him and the wrath of God against sin poured out upon him. Listen to the account of Matthew in Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 54. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard of this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely this was the Son of God." Even all of creation cried out. The centurion, the people observing, cried out. Even death cried out on this worst of all days, the day that the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, was crucified. Friends, our greatest worst thing, the thing that we all face, that all human beings have in common, is death. No one is exempt. And in these days of constant news coverage of COVID-19 coronavirus, we are constantly reminded of our mortality, that death is an inescapable reality. The greatest worst thing that Jesus faced, and the greatest worst thing that you and I will ever face, is death. But remember, friends, resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. See, this is all possible because the resurrection is the last word. See, Jesus has overcome all of the worst things. He's overcome all the bad news you could ever receive. He's overcome betrayal by a close friend. He's overcome being deserted and being disowned. He's overcome every bit of sickness and disease and struggle and suffering that the world could ever throw at you. There is nothing that Jesus has not overcome. Even death itself and the power of sin that brings death. Because the resurrection is the last word. Jesus has overcome. Because Jesus is alive, those who are believers in Christ will be raised to life again. It is why we can say that resurrection means that even the worst thing is not the last thing. Jesus has the last word because he has conquered sin and he has conquered the grave. Our Savior lives. And for that, we are able to rejoice. So in these last moments that we spend together around the Word of God, I want us to consider how we access resurrection hope. And for that, let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, so that we might be able to look at some lessons to help us to access resurrection hope. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, Matthew's account of the resurrection. It says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus. Jesus, the one who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." How do we access resurrection hope? Well, first, we hear the hope of the resurrection. See, those women came to the tomb. As I said at the beginning, they came not expecting to see a resurrected Jesus. They came expecting to see how the tomb was, to come to anoint his body. They came in sadness, but they came and saw something that they would never forget. As that angel came down, the earth shook. Those guards who would normally have been strong and brave at the sight of the angel and his work of pushing back that stone and sitting on top of it fell as though they were dead men. Their fear put them down as though dead. But the fear of the women was approached completely different by that angel. For that angel brought good news to them. A message of hope for them to hear. The message that Jesus, who was crucified, that they were looking for, he is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Friends, may the message of the resurrection, may we hear it well this morning. Because when we hear the message of the resurrection, that our Savior is not in the grave, that he has overcome death, that he is not here, he is risen, and he is risen indeed. There is great hope that comes. The hope of the resurrection comes as we hear that message today. It brought hope to those women 2,000 years ago, and it will still bring hope to us today. Our Savior is not in the grave. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. How do we access hope? Well, we hear the hope of the resurrection. We hear the message that he is alive. Secondly, second lesson on how to access resurrection hope, we see and touch the resurrected one. Look at verses 6 through 9. It says, "He is not here, he has risen just as he said." The angel says then, "Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Verse 8, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples." Look at verse 9. "Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings," he said. "And they came to him." We'll finish that in a moment, but notice what happens first. It didn't stop with just a hearing of the message. It progressed to a seeing. The angel said, "Come into the tomb. See where he lay. He is not here. I told you the message, but come see with your own eyes. Come look where he once was. He is not here. Don't just hear it from me. Come and see." And as they came and saw that Jesus, in fact, was not in the tomb, the angel said, "Now go tell the disciples to go to Galilee, and there they too will see Jesus." And the women, both afraid and filled with joy, head on their way, and as they come along the road, who appears but Jesus? First, they saw that he wasn't there, and then they saw him. They beheld the risen one. They heard it. They saw he wasn't there. And then they saw him. And then the rest of that verse says, "Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings," he said, and they came to him and clasped his feet. Not only did they see him, but they touched him. How do we access hope, the hope of the resurrection? We see and we touch Jesus. See, it's a wonderful joy to hear the message, to hear it declared to us. But it is a totally different experience when you encounter the resurrected one. One is about hearing the message. The other is a personal encounter with him. You see, the resurrection isn't just a message. The resurrection is a person. For in John chapter 11, verse 25, as Jesus came to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead, he declared, "I am the resurrection and the life." See, resurrection hope is not just a message, though that's where it begins. But resurrection hope leads us, when we hear the message, it leads us to an encounter with the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen. Because resurrection is more than just a thing. Resurrection is a person. And so this morning, my prayer for you, my prayer for all of us, is that as we hear the resurrection message, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've heard it over and over, that it would bring hope. But it wouldn't just stop at a message we hear and understand and believe, but it would lead us to an encounter with the one who is resurrection, the one who is resurrected, Jesus. For by the Holy Spirit, he is able to manifest the presence of the presence of Christ to you. And so may we seek him, even in these days, to know the one who is resurrection, who is the life, the one who is resurrection hope. How do we access resurrection hope? We hear the hope of the resurrection. We see and touch the resurrected one. And then lastly, we worship the resurrected one. The end of that, suddenly, verse 9, Jesus met them, greetings, he said, and they came to him, clasped his feet, and what did they do? They worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me as well." See, hearing the news, seeing and touching him, all led to a culmination, and that culmination was worship. Hearing the message, encountering the resurrected one will always lead us to a place where we pour our adoration, our praise, where we pour out our love and affection to the one who is the resurrected one, the resurrection and the life, the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful, beautiful picture in Revelation chapter 5. As hopelessness comes around heaven, there is a scroll that must be opened and seals that no one on earth is able to open. And here comes one looking like a lamb that was slain, Jesus. The one who is worthy to open the seals on the scroll. The one who we are told is worthy of all honor and glory and adoration and worship and wisdom and power and wealth and praise. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture. The resurrected lamb who was slain for the salvation of the world is the one who is worthy of all worship. Friends, hearing the message, encountering the one who is resurrected, will always lead us, when we understand exactly who we are encountering and who we are hearing of and the hope of the resurrection, will always lead us to heart-filled, passionate worship of Christ. This morning, may we be passionate worshipers. How do we access the hope of resurrection? We hear the hope of the resurrection. We see and touch the resurrected one. And we allow all of that to lead us to a place of worship. Friends, let me ask you today. Have you encountered the resurrected Jesus? Have you received Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, as your Savior and Lord? For he came to seek and to save the lost, as we talked last week, and he came to go to a cross to pay for our sin penalty. but through his resurrection, he has overcome sin in the grave that he paid the price for. Friends, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, if you have not asked him to come and make your home, his home in your life today by his Holy Spirit, I pray that on this Easter Resurrection Sunday, that today would be the day that you acknowledge your need for Christ, that you confess and you repent of your sin, so that what Jesus paid for on the cross would be applied to your life. And friends, I pray that you would come to know in a personal way the resurrected one, that you would see and touch and know and encounter his presence as he comes and makes his home in you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Friends, cry out to him if you have not received Christ as your Savior. For he is the one who is worthy of everything that you could ever long for, that you could ever want in this life. Receive Christ today. And if you are a believer, may we, like those women, in these next moments, respond to him in the only way that is fitting: passionate, unhindered worship. For he alone is worthy of our worship. May we together now come, and may we lift up our praise, lift up our worship to the one who is worthy of it. Let's worship together.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Creation groaning, it is a new creation coming, it is. It's the glory of the Lord to be the light within the mist, it is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, conquer the grave. He is even true, and the Lamb who died to ransom the saved. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of a blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slain. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom, a priest, a God to reign with the sun. Is it worthy? Is it worthy of a blessing and honor and glory? Is it worthy? Is it worthy? Is it worthy of faith? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? He
is. It's so good to worship the Lamb, the resurrected one, Jesus, the one who is resurrection and the life. May the Lord bless you this day with great joy. May he lead you to even deeper and greater worship throughout this day and this week as we celebrate our risen, resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And now, just as Jesus sent those women to go and to tell the disciples that he is risen, that he is risen indeed, just like he said he would, may you be sent now to go and to tell others. Even though it looks different in these days of going and interacting and telling others, may he use you as his mouthpiece so that others may hear of resurrection hope. And so others may see and touch the one who is resurrection, the Lord Jesus, and so that others may be worshipers of the one who is resurrection life, Jesus. May the Lord bless you this day. May he fill you with joy, and may he send you to be his mouthpiece of the goodness of his resurrection. The Lord bless you. Amen.